Hello and welcome to the 54th episode of the Pop Papa Napcast. I'm your host, TJ Deitch. I run the website poppapa.com. That's P-O-P-P-O-P-P-A.com. I also host this podcast, which talks about my experiences as a work-from-home father, parent, and just as a human being in general, I guess. I hope everyone's doing all right. We had kind of an interesting week. Nothing too big, nothing too small. Just kind of a standard one, I guess. Which was a little concerning when I realized that I was recording today and I didn't have a whole lot of different things to talk about, but I think I can kind of piecemeal something together that will work out pretty well. Let's hope. I'm actually recording this one next to my daughter, who is sleeping on the couch right now. I tried moving her to her bed after she finally fell asleep on my chest, and as soon as I went to put her in her room, she woke up, said, "Daddy, no sleep, no sleep, no sleep," yelled at me, screamed, and then came back out. I tried putting her on the chair across the room from me so that I could, you know, record and unencumbered, I guess, and she screamed at me then, and so I put her down next to me, and she seems to be doing fine. Hopefully my talking will not wake her up, but I don't know. On last week's episode, I talked about how I was starting to think that naps might be a thing of the past, at least on a regular basis, and that might still be the case, even though she did nap last Monday and Tuesday, maybe Wednesday. Monday and Tuesday, she fell asleep around like 1 or 2 on her own, just kind of sitting down wherever she was in the living room, falling asleep, and then I'd put her in her room, no problem. Towards the end of the week, she starts building up her reserves, I think. And that might be because on the weekend, she barely naps. This weekend, we went on a bunch of errands on Saturday. She slept for a little bit in the car, and then she slept for a tiny bit in the car on Sunday, too, I think. But again, not much. So I actually expected her to fall asleep much earlier today, but I think she stayed up a little bit longer than normal because my wife is home from work. So I think just having like the extra person around kind of maybe charged her up a little bit. But the nice thing about that was I was able to go to the grocery store, get all of our food, and come back. We're thinking about joining a farm share, and so I'm kind of keeping an eye on my receipts to see if we were going to spend as much as it costs to join. The problem with this farm share that we want to join is that, you know, you got to pay for everything up front. That's how they tend to work. But the positives are that you get local, like legit, fresh meat and vegetables. I like that it's both of those. Plus, the nice thing about that, since it is, you know, a farm and they're taking care of these animals themselves, if we want more like bones and like weird parts that people don't usually want, we might be able to get them a little bit easier than we would at the grocery store. Like, I like getting beef bones for stock and chicken bones, and you know, you can make pork stock as well as beef stock, and all this stuff can all go into some killer stock. But it's kind of a pain to like go and buy a chicken and like get the thing and put it all in and make it that way. So I'm kind of hoping that maybe if we do join, I can get even more out of it than normal. But we are liking the idea of, you know, farm raised beef and chicken and pork, and then also obviously the vegetables will come in. But we got to make sure that it makes sense for us, as you know, financially speaking. And we're also trying to, you know, keep things, you know, tight, because we want to build up more cash to buy a house. We've seen a few more things pop on the market. Nothing like in our exact realm of ability to purchase at this point, but it does seem like more things are coming on the market little by little. I know it's still early in spring. Like I said before, we started this search way too early, and so that has been disconcerting for me personally and hard to kind of keep up that enthusiasm. But at the same time, things are starting to come out, and some of the more expensive places that, you know, look like they're the right size for us are starting to come down a tiny bit in price. So maybe we'll see the market kind of level out to the point where places that are more of what we're looking for will come down to the price that we can afford. So that's all kind of fingers crossed, money, food stuff in one quick little package right there. Speaking of groceries, actually, I figure I will throw this out there. If any other parents are looking for a way to get a lot more fruits, dairies, and vegetables in their diet on a regular basis, about 2 months ago, I started getting back into making smoothies in the morning, and I don't have like an exact recipe. I kind of go by what's in the fridge, what's around, what's kind of up for grabs. So what I do when I go to the store every week now is I buy a big tub of Greek yogurt. You can buy whatever yogurt you want. I go just plain vanilla. You could obviously do fruit. In the past, I've actually done several little containers of yogurt of different flavors. That works great too if you want to go that route. But you get some yogurt. I get some frozen berries now because they're still kind of expensive at the store. Plus, the kid likes all the fresh ones. And then I get some kale, some carrots. We usually have bananas and apples and oranges and any number of other fruits and vegetables around. And so what I do is in the morning, after I drink my big old French press of coffee, is I will bust out the blender or the Cuisinart, doesn't really matter, and I'll put in the frozen berries first, about 3/4 of a cup of milk, maybe, possibly more, depending on how your blending goes. And then, like I said, a banana, a peeled carrot or two. If you've got some pineapple, or if you want to squeeze an orange in there, just drop the whole thing in, some lime juice, an apple. For the apple, I just core it, cut it up into, little pieces, throw it in. Same with the carrots. And then I've also discovered that I like kale in my shakes. And so I put all that stuff in there. You stem the kale, of course. Throw it all in there with maybe like a tablespoon of, or two of peanut butter. Or if you've got fresh nuts, I've had walnuts in there and they're awesome. I've done regular peanuts too, and that works really well. Peanut butter has obviously a specific taste that I enjoy. So once that's in the mix, it's pretty good. And then you clomp on like a cup or so of yogurt, throw that all in the blender or the Cuisinart or whatever you have that can blend things up. And then you've got yourself a pretty healthy little drink to have during the day. Now, I find this is important. It keeps your energy up, which is obviously good if you're watching kids. And it also, gets in a ton of vitamins and nutrients and all this stuff that maybe you're not going to get if you were going to eat all these things on their own every single day. But it works out really well. The one thing that I do want to warn you about, though, if you're not great at remembering when you need to eat like I am, you can run into some problems if your schedule gets thrown off. So, like, I make my coffee in the morning when I get up between 7 and 8, and I drink that throughout the day. Around 10 o'clock is when I usually make my shake, and then I kind of sip on that for, as long as it takes. Sometimes it's quicker, sometimes it's slower. Depends on what's going on, of course. But then I'm not really hungry for a little while. Sometimes I eat lunch closer to like 1 or 2. I think I do this kind of naturally anyway, but it's just something you got to watch out for. A couple of times, Emma's come home, and we've gone to like the midwives or whatever, or gone out, and since I haven't had my lunch yet, I wind up getting a little lightheaded. So just be careful of like knowing your schedule and when you like to eat and all that kind of stuff. Because if it gets switched up a little bit, you could be feeling lightheaded in the middle of your midwife appointment like I was. But for the most part, I think it works out really well. Like I said, I've used the blender and I've used the Cuisinart. Both work really well. People have juicers, of course. The ones that I make are a little bit like chunky, I guess. But that doesn't bother me. I can understand if it was something that you weren't into, you'd want to go for the juicer route or whatever. I've also used the Magic Bullet, but I had to do it in like a couple steps. I had to do like one part first and then the other part and then put it in a big cup and then mix it all up. I had these like big 32-ounce plastic cups that I use. And since I'm kind of always doing dishes, everything just goes through the wash and stays clean and all that. But I think it's a really good way to kind of keep yourself healthy, keep yourself going a little bit. And maybe not like snack on a bunch of stuff during the day that might not be good for you, especially if you're like me and you just sit on your butt all day. So, yeah, just something I wanted to throw out there. You can also obviously put in some like whey protein if you really wanted to boost up your protein. I've had that stuff before, and it, depending on how much you put in and what else you're working with, it can either be masked by everything else or it can really pop out. But it's just a good base of a shake or a smoothie or whatever you want to call it. And then you can kind of mix in whatever else you want. I've thrown in like extra pineapple or raspberries or blueberries. I used to get the berry mix, but the strawberries that are frozen in our grocery store are actually cheaper. When the farms start selling everything, I'll probably switch over from frozen to fresh. And I think that'll taste obviously a lot better. So just something to kind of throw out there and get in your heads because it works out pretty well for me. Over the past couple episodes, I've talked about how things have slowed down for me work-wise. It was just kind of a random occurrence. A lot of the people I was trying to interview had things going on, or just things weren't happening. Luckily, a new batch of stories kind of came back into the mix, and so I've gotten the jump on those. I wrote a bunch of questions, sent them out, and I'm kind of waiting to hear back. But I'm hoping that this week will actually be fairly busy and productive. I already wrote a story this morning for things that came in. It's Monday. So that was cool. Like, it took me a little while to get kind of back into it because I realized I hadn't written like an actual story in like 2.5 weeks or something, which is insane and does not feel very good. But I'm hoping all these things kind of catch back up. And so my invoice for this particular month won't be too bad. But we'll see. I mean, that's the problem that nobody else thinks of. When you're the freelance writer, you're waiting on all these people to get back to you. And you don't get your money until you get answers from them. And I'm sure it's just something that, you know, the people I'm talking to don't even think about, or the people I'm working with at the companies don't even think about. But it is something that obviously I think about, because the longer it takes for me to turn something in, the longer it takes for me to get paid. And that's something that kind of stinks. But that's kind of the nature of this particular business I'm in. And I'm excited to see things kind of pick back up a little bit. They kind of do that in the summer anyway, as it starts warming up. It starts kicking into convention season and more things are happening. And so hopefully that'll kind of move things along work-wise. Other than that, we're just kind of keeping, you know, keep on keeping on here at the Deitch household. My wife's still working on snapping some of the old Velcro reusable diapers that we have. Lucy loves, she just did a pink one the other day, or a couple of them, and Lucy really digs those, which is cool to see her get excited about that. But I also don't want her to get too excited about diapers, because obviously we're trying to potty train. There's still been teeny tiny little steps towards that. My wife read a thing. I haven't actually read it myself yet. I'll probably have time to do it after I record, of course, but this thing that says, like, ask them if they want to go to the bathroom when you go to the bathroom. And I think that's a great idea, and I'll do my best to do it. But at the same time, you know, for me to go to the bathroom, it's usually like a quick thing. I'm in and out, and I'm back at my computer trying to do some work. And it's that thing that is the biggest problem that I feel as a parent every single day, is like, I'm possibly being not the best parent because I also want to get some work done. And that is a bummer, because, you know, obviously I want to do my part and bring in as much money as I can, but I also, you know, don't want my kids to suffer because I'm too busy writing stories about comic books or whatever. But I think we're doing a pretty good balance. We might also focus a little bit more on it once my wife takes her maternity leave in advance of the birth. The first time around, the plan was to start her, it was like a Friday, the next Monday she was going to start her maternity leave, and it was going to be 2 weeks before the supposed birth, but we kind of figured that Lucy was going to be born earlier from our math, and she was actually born like exactly when she was supposed to be, so, which was just over the weekend or whatever, after Em took that time off, so she didn't get her 2 weeks ahead of time, so this time she's definitely scheduling those 2 weeks for before the due date, and so hopefully we'll have some time. And she thinks that she might be able to, like, work on it a lot more then. And, I mean, we'll see. Like I've said before, I think there isn't anything that's incentive enough as, like, bribery tactic right now for her to learn how to use the potty. Unless we just started, like, taking things that she loves away and then giving them back to her if and when she uses the potty. But I don't really want to do that. I mean, the other night, I was trying to get her to clean up. She had a ton of shoes all over the place. And I go, look, if you don't clean your shoes up and put them in the shoe holder, I'm going to take them all away and you can only use them when we need them, when we go outside. And, like, immediately she picked them up. Now, obviously, I could probably do something along those lines, hold her shoes hostage until she uses the potty. But that just doesn't seem like the right kind of tactic. You know, that's like, super duper negative. And at this point, at least, I'm not willing to go down that route, but I've already thought of it, so of course part of my brain is down that rabbit hole already. But I don't know, I don't think it'll be that bad. I do think she's kind of gearing up towards it. The problem, though, a lot of people say, is that when the second kid comes along, the first kid will kind of regress way back, and that would be rough, because she's doing really great in everything for the most part, Except for, cleaning up takes some cajoling for sure. The potty is still pretty far away from happening on a regular basis, and sleep is still kind of a mess. But other than all that, I think she's great. She'll tell you when she wants to eat. She'll usually eat whatever you give her. And for the most part, I think she's a great little kid, but these areas could definitely use some improvement, and I do hope that when little baby comes along that it doesn't completely knock everything back several months. Speaking of little baby, we haven't really done too much around here in prep. Like I said, we've kind of got everything set already because the room's set up. He's gonna sleep next to us. My wife's keeping an eye out for some diaper covers for him, and we've got some clothes and a bunch of stuff. Since he's kind of a summer baby, we think he'll probably just hang out in like a onesie a lot if the weather's nice. And if it does become like really hot, then we'll have the AC on to a comfortable level for the little dude. But yeah, I mean my mom and dad visited a while ago, and they got a ton of stuff that Em had put on Amazon for us, which was awesome. Boppy covers and all the stuff, and so we're pretty well set. Oh, actually, that reminds me, on Friday we went out to this baby consignment shop across the river from us, and it was a pretty good setup. That this first night was open to like people of particular groups or clubs or something, and pregnant women, so you could get in there and look at all the stuff. So Em really did most of the shopping, and then Lou and I kind of walked around. And I kind of freaked out in the way that I always freak out every time we go to something like this, and that Lucy just wants to touch everything and see everything, and then I'm trying to like corral her, and there's a ton of other people around and a couple of like ridiculously rambunctious children who were like playing on skateboards in the middle of this thing, and all these people around, and nobody was telling them, "Hey, stop it. Why don't you relax a little bit, dudes?" I was thinking it in my head, but I didn't say it to them. But Em got like a bag full of clothes and then a couple other things, mostly for him, a few things for Lucy. And then, before we went, Em said, "You can get something there if you want." And so we're kind of looking around, and she liked a lot of like little baby stuff, like the ride-alongs and the things like that. But we're like, you can't really get that. And she loves little tight cars, but we just have zero space for them. But there was this cool thing. It's like a 2 foot tall Mr. Potato Head that. It's kind of like opaque. You can see through it, but it's still brown. And he's got a safari hat. And I kind of saw it up on a windowsill. I was like, "Luce, do you like that? Do you want to get that?" And she was like, "Yeah." So she knows Mr. Potato Head from Toy Story and the other, the Toy Story movies. And so she was really into it. And I could tell that there was a potato head inside this thing and then a bunch of pieces. And so we brought it home. And I'll probably regret this because it's yet another toy that has a ton of parts that she likes dumping out all over the place. But it's just really fun to kind of watch her play with it. There's also like a little tiny spud potato in there. And she likes dressing him up a very particular way. And then there's, Miss Potato Head and all these parts. And she has a good time with it. So I'm pretty happy about that. I was also happy to leave that place because it was making all of my nerves go crazy. I don't do well with kids that I don't know at all because I don't know how to like react to them or respond to them, and so it can be a little tricky, especially when they're like older and far more like energetic and crazy and all over the place. Speaking of toys, while I'm on the subject, I'm actually really excited. I haven't told Lucy about this because I've realized that, hyping a kid up can just lead to sadness and you getting asked questions about that thing constantly. But I bought her a simple Hot Wheels ramp track off of Amazon, along with some other stuff that we needed for the house. And this is just one of those ones that clamps onto like a table and then it ends in a ramp. I'm really excited because she loves cars. She's got my old cars from when I was a kid that are much larger. They're like 3 and 4 inch cars, but they're bigger and they're die cast metal and all this stuff. But she loves some of the littler cars that she also has. And so I got this thing. It's on its way here now. And then I asked my dad to check and find my old Matchbox cars. And I've got some crazy ones. I've got one shaped like an alligator or crocodile or something, and like a lot of weird ones. Some that change color when you dip them in water, all this stuff. And he found them over the weekend. And so they're going to bring them when they come in a couple weeks. So I'm really excited to kind of show her this like ramp and everything. I think she'll get a kick out of it. But again, I feel like I'm shooting myself in the foot a little bit here because I'm constantly getting these things that have little hard parts that I can step on and will need to clean up. So at some point, my practicality has to win out over my enthusiasm. But for now, that's not quite the time. Especially if it's something that I'm interested in, I guess. So all that's going on. I mentioned on Friday we went to the consignment shop thing. Saturday we ran a bunch of errands. After I got to sleep in, we went over to get our hair cut, which worked out pretty well, although it took kind of a while. And then from there we went over to Marshall's, ran a couple errands there. Lucy fell asleep on the way, like I mentioned before, and then she was not going back down for a nap after that. She woke up when we went into Marshall's and was kind of all around and doing her usual run around crazy kid thing at the store. We planned on going over to Target after that, but she kind of dozed off again. When I brought her into the house, she woke up immediately. So that didn't work out so well for us. But while we were out and about, got a text from some friends seeing if we wanted to meet up for dinner. And then so we were in, as anyone who listened to last week's episode will know, I was super in because it's been so long since I've actually hung out with people I am not related to in any way. So we went out, we had dinner, it was a lot of fun. Actually saw Paul Sr. from American Chopper, if you're familiar with that show. The headquarters for that business, Orange County Customs, is actually not that far from us, kind of around the corner. But we were across the river, so it was a little surprising to see him. And I was kind of like nodding as we got to the table to our friends. I was like, did you see him? And M looked over and saw him like rolling his eyes as I was doing that, sitting down, which is pretty funny because I don't like that man. He's kind of a jerk, and it was funny to have that kind of reaction from him. But we had a nice dinner, and then after that we went over to our friend's house for a little while and hung out, and it was just nice. I mean, it's starting to get a little bit nicer weather-wise, and it seems like everybody's kind of thawing out from the winter funk and wants to hang out and be social, and so hopefully we will be doing a lot more of that in the near future, because it is important to have friends and do things that are not necessarily just completely focused on the kiddos. So on Sunday, we finally did our Target run. Nothing really special. Oh, we wanted to go to an open house for this place that we've been kind of eyeing that already has dropped like 20K in like 2 weeks that it's been on the market. It's a really neat looking place. It's kind of right in the heart of where we want to be, but it's still out of our budget at this point. And there was supposed to be an open house that was on the internet. It was on their website. It said, you know, Sunday from 11 to whatever. But as we drove up, we realized there weren't any signs out, and there was like the normal for sale sign in the front yard, but nothing like happening. I saw a little sign on the front door and I went up to read it, and it was like about not letting the cat out. And I kind of looked in and there was a car there, but I wasn't sure if anyone was home, and nobody came to the door. So we kind of bailed on that because we weren't sure what was happening, which is too bad because it was a neat house. We have noticed that a lot of the houses where we want to go don't necessarily have open houses, because, you know, it's kind of a pain to like have the realtor look into it, find the key, you know, do all this stuff, go through all these motions when you just want to see the house and see what's up. But obviously you can't just walk through other people's houses. That would be a little bit crazy, although I promise I would not steal many things. So that went down, or did not go down. Then we ran our errands and all that kind of stuff, and kind of here we are today. Oh, for a little bit of TV talk and what's new with Lou, this kid is almost completely speaking in quotes from Caillou at this point. She's probably watched the entire season that's on Netflix, which is roughly 26 episodes, I would say 8 or 9 times at this point. When the title card comes up beforehand, she says what it is. My wife, you know, she's home today. She was like, oh my gosh, she can read the titles of the episodes. And I was like, no, she just knows them. I don't believe she can read yet, but she can absolutely memorize an entire episode of television and spout it back to you. Now, this is fine. You know, that's a great skill to have, memorization. That's how I learned Latin, or didn't learn Latin. But the problem is that she now will like say quotes from the show at you as if you're having a conversation, or as if you have any context for what she's saying. Now, I have said many times I'm able to kind of block out whatever nonsense she's watching, but every now and then I'll kind of tune in and I'll be like, oh, that's that thing she's been saying. But at this point, it's almost, I would say 70%, maybe more, of what she says are just like quotes from Caillou There's still about 10 to 15% is just frozen monologues and songs out of nowhere, and then the rest is like original content, which is pretty funny considering, she's a almost 3-year-old. I did not expect her to be such a regurgitating machine. But at this point, and I think I've said this before, Caillou definitely has more influence on her than I do. We just need to start finding episodes from the previous seasons that maybe attack some of the problems that we're having, and we'll see if those work out. Because nothing I say does anything anymore. But there is one awesome development that I did want to talk about a little bit, and I will do some posts on the blog because I think it fits that a little bit better. But we've started having kind of daddy-daughter movie times. This all started because I happened to find a DVD that I got from Shout Factory way back in the day. I used to get these things for free all the time, especially from their Roger Corman collection, which they were putting out. And it was a 3-pack with the original Not of This Earth, War of the Satellites, and Attack of the Crab Monsters, I believe. And I had gotten it out because I had heard an interview with Dick Miller recently, who is one of the greatest character actors of all time. He's Morrie Fetterman from Gremlins, to give you an idea. If you don't know what that is, go watch Gremlins and then go watch Bucket of Blood and he's in everything. I guarantee you know what he looks like. He's in Chopping Mall, but Buckets of Blood is a beautiful 1950s or 60s beatnik, weird horror movie that's not nearly as violent or gross as it sounds. But I had gotten that out because he's in one of those movies, and I didn't even realize it. And Lucy was kind of looking at it, and she was like, "Daddy, what's this?" I go, "Oh, that's just old monster movies, because they're all black and white, old school Corman movies, that he would do on the cheap in like 2 weeks and then put out to theaters and drive-ins and whatnot." She's like, "Oh, okay, want to watch this one?" And then she pointed at the one that Dick Miller happened to be in, which is the one I wanted to watch. So I put it on, and that particular viewing session didn't go quite very well because we were watching it on the big TV. We were watching it on the big TV, and then I thought she was getting kind of restless, maybe sleep near sleep, because she was getting kind of restless. And I thought that that might mean that she was getting sleepy. So I said, "Hey, do you want to watch this in mommy daddy room?" Because we have a DVD player in there. So we went in there, and she just spent the whole time like jumping up and down and landing on me and stepping on me. And I cannot stand being used as a playground. So I came back out here. I was honestly pretty disappointed because I thought this could be a cool thing. And I figured these movies aren't going to have anything that are going to freak her out too much. And if they did, I would turn them off. And that got me, we didn't really watch anything after that, but I was kind of looking around, and out of nowhere, like a couple days later, she was like, "Daddy, want to watch a monster movie?" And I was like, "Oh, okay." And I remembered that another thing that Shout Factory sent me, like again, years ago, were these two Gamera double feature discs. Now, Gamera is like Godzilla. They call them kaiju over in Japan, just giant monsters, wrecking shop, destroying stuff. Gamera happens to be a turtle. So I pulled one of those discs out and I showed it to her and I said, "Do you want to watch this?" And she goes, Yeah. She picked the one and we watched it, and it's like called, hold on. And it was called Gamera the Super Monster. Now, from the little tiny bit of research I did, basically there were five original Gamera movies. There was Gamera, and then Gamera vs. Gairon, and Gamera vs. Jiger, and then Gamera vs. Zegra, and then Gamera the Super Monster. What I didn't realize until later was that Gamera the Super Monster actually just has our giant turtle friend fighting all the monsters from the previous movies. But it also has these like three lady superheroes, and there's a little kid who's important, and like a lady bad guy. So I actually thought it wound up being like kind of a good thing to show her because it's not your traditional male centric, thing. I don't know if she picks up on any of this stuff at all at this point, but I think it's important to kind of present her with different kinds of role models and leads and heroines and heroes and all this kind of stuff. So it actually wound up being kind of a cool thing that she was into for the most part. She wound up falling asleep, and then she wanted to watch the end of it later, which we did. And we've watched like maybe half of another one. And then for another daddy-daughter movie time, because I thought that maybe monsters might not be the best thing. She's getting a little scared of things, and I didn't want to like give her nightmares. even though she seemed fine while we watched the whole thing. On, I think, Saturday, I pulled out my copy of the Batman movie from like 1966 with Adam West and Burt Ward, and I showed her that, and she seemed to be into that, and she asked to watch it again like the next day, but you know, we were doing some other stuff. So it's kind of a cool thing that we're doing. I hope it kind of sticks. You know, a big part of my childhood was watching movies with my dad. I mean, I was a little bit older, and we would watch like Animal House on TV or Blues Brothers on TV, like all these movies on TV. And then I remember watching, you know, Star Wars and Indiana Jones, and those weren't necessarily like father-son movies, but I just remember seeing them a lot. But the movies that he was passionate about were the kind of like Saturday Night Live, SCTV related comedian movies from the late 70s and early 80s. So that's kind of what we got into together. I would go on to obviously become like a huge Star Wars fan on my own and Indiana Jones and all this other stuff. But I kind of hope that there is a part of her that wants to get into some of the things that I like. But we'll see. I mean, I don't want to push anything too hard. And, But it would be nice to have a little buddy to watch movies with. So I guess either her or little baby can fill that role. Maybe both. That would be cool. But yeah, it was really fun, and it was even better to kind of hear her say the next day, like, "Oh, Daddy, let's watch Batman." So I'm actually really hoping that the TV show gets put out on DVD soon. A couple years ago, they started making all these announcements of like different licensing agreements, toys, action figures, t-shirts, that kind of thing. And then just this year, they've said that they're finally figuring out how to put out the DVDs. It's a problem because like Warner Brothers owns Batman, they own DC Comics, and then Fox put the show out, I think. And so there's been like a war going back and forth between who gets to do what. I don't know how the movie got put out. I got my DVD copy of it way back when Daredevil, the Ben Affleck movie, came out. It was like a special deal at Media Play of all places. But the show is supposed to be coming out soon, and I really hope that she's still kind of vaguely interested in it all by that point, because then we can watch that and it won't get like super old really fast. But I do love that movie. The movie's fantastic and goofy and weird and awesome for so many reasons. But hopefully I can get kind of a regular post going on the blog about the movies that we watch together and the things that she responds to and how I think they either are or are not good movies for a 2 going on 3-year-old to watch. But with that, I think we're gonna close things out. Don't want to take up too much more of your time. I am TJ Deitch. This is the Pop Papa Napcast. You can find show notes on poppapa.com. That's poppapa.com. If you want to read about my pop culture musings, you can head on over to unitedmonkey.com. That's MONKEE.com. I also have been slowly but surely posting more and more on monkeyingaroundthekitchen.com. All one word, no spaces. That's where I write about my various adventures in the kitchen and eating out in the real world. And of course, I'm always on Twitter at Papa Deitch. That's POPPADIETSCH. All right, gang. Have a good one.